remark to his mother, "Mama, you can't be good without praying." "How do you know, Robert?" she asked. "Because I've tried," he answered. This brings to mind another story about a little guy, one who had been sent to his room because he had been bad. A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "That's fine," she said. "If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me be good," replied the boy. "I asked him to help you put up with me." Yeah. Any parents able to identify with that, even just a little bit? I've got five of them. And I'm still somewhat sane. God is good. That's right. On a more serious note, Ivan endures all the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. One day he is praying with his eyes closed when a fellow prisoner notices him and says with ridicule, "Prayers won't help you get out of here any faster." Opening his eyes, Ivan answers, "I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God." That's a statement and a half right there. No doubt Ivan was a man of prayer. Well, last week in the book of Colossians chapter 1, we took a look at two other men of prayer, and we saw it in verse 1, Paul and Timothy. And not only did we see the fact that they were praying all the time for the Colossian church, we also got a little insight into how they were praying. So if you've got your Bibles, please go ahead and open to Colossians 1. I want to look at verses 9 through 12. And we're going to sort of recap last week again so we're all on the same page, and then we'll jump into the message for today. So Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. Here it is up on the overhead. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." So, Paul, who wrote this letter, mentions that he and Timothy, his disciple and co-worker, are praying like this for the Colossian church. And the heart of the prayer is that the church would know the full will of God. In other words, that the Lord would reveal his will to them. What's cool is then Paul goes on to say how indeed the Holy Spirit, or the Father, reveals his will to his people, and that is through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom is very easy to understand. It simply means wisdom given by the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know God's will for your life, for your family, for this congregation, it's got to be shown us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you cannot fully grasp the Lord's will, his plans and purposes, on your own. It's got to be the Spirit revealing it to us, and the main way he reveals it to us is through the Word of God. Yes, he speaks in through dreams and visions, that still small voice. He'll speak through a tongue, an interpretation, a prophecy. All of that is still just as legit today as it was 2,000 years ago. But he speaks mainly through the Word of God. And by the way, you test all the other stuff by the Word. Are we all on the same page? Okay? So if somebody has a word of wisdom for you, ponder it. Seek the Lord's face. Test it. Test it against the Scripture. Test it against what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you. At the end of the day, though, when it comes to God's will, it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, whether through the Word or something very specific for your life. The second part of that, Paul uses the word understanding. What he means then is this. Once the Holy Spirit gives you that wisdom, he also gives you the understanding on what to do with it. So the whole point here is that the Holy Spirit would reveal his will to us, and then we would live it out. We would do what the Spirit, what the Word is telling us to do. And when you do that, that's when you live your best life now. There is a book written, I think, a number of years ago. I believe it was called Best Life Now by a rather well-known Christian author. And I've never read it, but if you want to live your best life now, honor the Lord, carry out his will. Everything else will come in one way or the other, but that's it. And I tell you what, that's a great prayer, isn't it? Huh? Paul and Timothy knew something. It's a great prayer to be praying. And so what I want to do today is I want to take a look then at the results of this prayer when we know God's will and live it out in our lives. The first thing is we will live a life worthy of God and please Him in every way. Take a look at verse 10 again, the first part. Paul says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Another way you can say this is that we would walk worthy of our calling. The word calling is important. A lot of times we think of a calling as something a pastor receives. I was called into the ministry. I was called to this church. Maybe you have a calling as an evangelist or as a missionary, something like that. And all of those callings are legit, and it's true. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul is not speaking to a specific group of called people. He's speaking to all of us as disciples. And here's the deal. As disciples, every one of us is called. We are called by the Spirit to be His. Paul tackles this at length in Ephesians chapter 1 when he says things like, we have been called to be adopted as sons and daughters. We've been called to receive eternal life, those kinds of things. So Paul is speaking to all disciples, which means he's speaking to us here this morning, 2,000 years down the road, but he's still speaking to us because the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is His Word, by the way. The Word doesn't change. Culture changes, but the Word of God never changes. That's why we can stand upon it, because it's like a rock. It's an anchor. Everything else could go crazy, but we've got Jesus and we've got the Word. Here's a quote for you by Ray Stedman. He says, when you understand what God has made you to be, His child, cherished by Him, your guilt and your sin taken care of, and that God is your loving Father who protects you, guides, and guards you, and when you see Him in all of His majesty and beauty, then you will become concerned about whether your behavior reflects His beauty and what others think of your God when they are watching you. That's a life worthy of the Lord. This is the first thing we are to be concerned about, our impact upon others, how our lives are impacting theirs, and what our actions make them think about our God. I tell you, that's another statement, isn't it? In other words, when they see you, when they see me, do they see Jesus? That's what living a life worthy of God's calling means, and that's how we wind up pleasing Him in all things. And the only way to live that life worthy, the only way to please Him in all things, is to know and carry out the will of the Lord. Does that make sense? To live more biblically, to be humble enough to submit yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be humble enough to be rebuked by the Spirit, by the Word of God. I tell you what, that's one of my highest desires for me, for my kids, for this church, is that when people see us, they see Jesus. Now, we're not perfect. We get that. We are still so desperately in need of God's grace, but don't forget, it's God's grace that strengthens us in the first place. It's God's grace that enables us to live the life that He's calling us to live. When they see Emmanuel Assembly of God, may they see Jesus. And if they don't see Jesus, then we got to get on our knees. Either way, that's the first result of knowing God's will and carrying out. We'll live worthy of the Lord and we'll please Him in every way. The second result is we will be bearing fruit in every good work. Take a look at verse 10, the second part. See, there was 10a and 10b. And sometimes as pastors and scholars, you break that up so you get even more specific. Here it is. Will be bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And that's an interesting thought, because the more you know God's will, the more you live it out, the more you're going to bear fruit. And we'll talk about that in a second. But guess what? Then you'll grow in the knowledge of God even more. So it's kind of like a circle. The more you know the will and you're living it out, the more you're going to know the will and live it out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we want to grow in grace. We want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We want to know God better, just like Paul prays in Ephesians 1. We want to love others more. There's our mission statement, right? Knowing Christ, loving others. How are you going to get there? the Lord's will, carrying it out. Isn't that cool? And then it's just the circle. More and more, you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And one of these results, like I just mentioned, is we will bear fruit in every good work. What is fruit? Anybody in here like fruit? How many of you like apples? Anybody like oranges? Plums? If you find a good plum tree, plum jelly, that's where it's at, right? So is that what Paul's talking about? We're going to walk into church on a Sunday morning and an apple's going to fall off your elbow? That'd be kind of weird. That'd be somewhat miraculous. We'd want to take a video of that. Did you guys see that there was somebody who just took a picture of what supposedly might be the Loch Ness Monster? Did you see that online? How many pictures do we have of the Loch Ness Monster? I have no problem believing that he may be there, but we have not proved it yet. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about whatsoever. I guess I just thought that if you actually had an elbow that bore an apple, that would be even bigger than the Loch Ness Monster. Whatever. That's kind of weird. Is this what Paul's talking about here? Is he talking about literally bearing fruit? No, he's using it as an illustration. And he's tying into something Jesus taught back in John chapter 15. Jesus said of all of his disciples, which once again includes us, that he has chosen us and appointed us to bear good fruit. So the question is then, is what is this fruit he's talking about? Well, in John 15, he gives us an insight. He says it's fruit that lasts, which means it has eternal ramifications. So it's not just simply making money. It's not just simply having children. It goes further than that. It has eternal ramifications. It has eternal consequences, good results. So what is it then specifically? Well, the Bible talks about two different kinds of fruit. Now, there may be more, but I'll throw two out to you. The first one is the fruit of the Spirit. And we see this in Galatians chapter 5. The very love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 pieces of fruit that make up the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What that means is that wherever the Holy Spirit is, he brings that fruit. So, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, which he does, if you've given your life to Jesus by faith, then that means all of the fruit of the Spirit lives where? In you. And the trick is allowing that to come out. It doesn't always come out, does it? Have you ever had a chance to love and you just didn't? You've all been there, haven't you? Have you ever had a chance to be kind and you went the other way? Yeah, I think we've all been there. The key, though, is this. If we are receiving spiritual wisdom and understanding, and we're putting it into practice, we're living out the very will of God for our lives. Number one, we're going to live that life worthy of God and pleasing to him. And number two, I believe the fruit of the Spirit's going to flow. So, if you want more joy in your life, it's already there. How do you let it out? Submit yourself to the Lord and do what he's telling you to do. If you want more of the very peace of God that passes understanding. Well, if you're living in sin, that peace is going to be fleeting. You may have moments. You may be born again. But if you're living in sin and you're not carrying out the will of the Lord, or your pride has puffed up and it's all about me now, well, how's that joy going to come out? How are you going to bear fruit in every good work? Now, listen, I understand there's a difference when you're struggling with sin. I think we've all struggled with sin off and on throughout our lives. Maybe some of you are right now. And you know that it's wrong. And you're confessing. And you're saying, Lord, forgive me. Deliver me from this. Sometimes it's not easy. There's a difference between that and living knowingly in sin and being okay with it. Allow the Lord to deal with you on that. Get right with him in that area. And I'll tell you what, the fruit of the Spirit, tell you what, as you look at it in this context, it's going to flow. And you're going to bear fruit in every good work. The second type of fruit comes to us via John the Baptist when he said to the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel, he talks about the fruit of repentance. What's the fruit of repentance? Well, it really kind of ties into everything that I was just saying. When you get saved, it leads to a changed life. That change happens first inside. And then over time, as you're walking with Jesus, that comes out. Now, again, it could be three steps forward or two steps forward, three steps back, you know. And I said on Wednesday night, don't feel bad about that because at least you're moving one step forward, right? Two steps forward, three steps back, you're still sort of moving forward there. Either way, the idea is that we should bear the fruit of repentance. We should be growing in Jesus. We should be living a life of purity. And if we fall on our face, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. We should be living a life of righteousness and working towards that as the Spirit works in us. You know, Jesus doesn't believe in easy believism. And what that means is you kind of get saved and then you can do whatever you want and you're okay. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is you get saved and then Jesus begins to work in you. And it's a lifelong process. I haven't arrived. But God is calling us to bear the fruit of the Spirit and to bear the fruit of repentance. So if you are struggling with sin, hang in there. The Lord is with you. He loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Continue to seek after Him. If you're living in sin, get right. Get right. Whatever that means for you in whatever situation you may be in, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be a natural byproduct, a natural result as we get before the Lord. We have spiritual wisdom. We put it into practice. The next thing you know, some of these things are going to happen naturally because the Lord's going to be working in you. So, those are the first two results. That we'll live lives worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Number two, we'll bear fruit in every good work. And then number three, we'll be strengthened with all power. Take a look at verses 11 and 12 again here in Colossians chapter 1. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. How many of you would say here today you want more of the power of the Spirit operating in your lives? How many of you would say you want more of the power of the Spirit in your families and in this church? Yeah, that's what we want. Well, one of the ways to have that is to know the Lord's will and to live it out. It's a result of the spiritual wisdom and understanding. I don't know if I could stand here before you and say that God is going to give you all the power you need if you're not living in the will of the Lord, right? And Paul, this is not the only place that he talks about this. He talks about it also in Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. This is coming on the tail end. As a matter of fact, this is the very end of his prayer for the Ephesians. And he's praying that they would be filled with God's power. Here's what he says. And His incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Look at the descriptive words that Paul uses here in describing God's power. It's His mighty strength. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and sat Jesus down at the right hand of God. We see that Jesus' power is over all rule and authority in the heavenly realms. This is a neat one. You know what the rule and the authority is? Principalities, powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He's talking about demonic entities. They're in the heavenly realms. You cannot see them, but they are there. And what's interesting is what Paul is saying here is that Jesus is above all of them. Let that sink in. He's above all of them. Period. That's it. There's this thought, and I might have shared this briefly on Wednesday night too. I can't remember. It's already 4 days ago or something. I have no clue what happened. But there's this thought out in the world, and I think it gets into the church every once in a while. There's good, there's evil. And they're sort of battling for supremacy. And so therefore, you have Jesus who is good, and you've got the devil who is evil, and they're battling for supremacy. No, they're not. They're not battling for supremacy of anything. Don't make the mistake and don't believe the lie that Jesus and the devil are somehow equals. They're not. I've often said that the devil is the gum on the bottom of Jesus' shoe. And that's absolutely true. Jesus already overcame him at the cross. Okay? Praise the Lord. This is who he is. That's it. And so there is no battle for supremacy. It's just a waiting game now until Jesus decides to come back. And then you will realize fully the victory that is yours. Now, the battle, though, takes place in our lives as believers. It's a battle, I've often heard said, for who's going to define reality. In other words, are you going to believe in what Jesus says, or are you going to believe a lie? Remember, the father of lies is the devil himself. Because a lot of times what we believe, that's how we live. We believe we need this thing, and so we go after it. We believe this about ourselves, and so it brings us down. You know, these kinds of things. And so there is a real battle. We call it spiritual warfare. Paul talks about this at the end of the book of Ephesians. It's helpful to realize, though, that in Christ, we are victorious. So if you're in the middle of battle, lock in with Jesus. Lock in with Jesus. Allow him to be your defense attorney. Allow him to be your captain. Allow him to fight your battles. And if you're going to win, you need to bow the knee. So it ties back, doesn't it, to the will of God and walking in the will of God. One of the results is that we will be strengthened with all power. Well, what if we are knowingly not doing what God wants? Huh, that's interesting, isn't it? It kind of, where the rubber meets the road, right? The Lord is so gracious. And sometimes he'll just step in grace. It's awesome. Thank God for his grace. We did a whole series on grace a few months ago. It saves us. It strengthens us. It holifies us. Makes us holy. There's a new word for you. You can write that down if you're taking notes. You know, it's there for us. It is sufficient for us. That's God's grace. But I tell you what, if we want to walk deeper in God's power, let's know his will, and then let's go after it. That's pretty cool. And when we do that, and by the way, we're going to know the Lord's will from the Spirit and the Word, right? We talked about that. And then it's going to be the Holy Spirit who strengthens us to carry that anyway. When it comes down to it, folks, it's another reminder as to why we need to be growing in our relationship with Jesus. It's another reminder why we need to be going after him daily. I understand, you know, the thought, and I've heard it 100 times, and I buy into it to a certain extent. I've got to come to church on Sunday to sort of, you know, recharge my batteries. Okay, that's cool. But what about Monday? Did Jesus go home? Did he take a vacation? Isn't that what Elijah said to the prophets of Baal? Maybe Baal's sleeping. So maybe Jesus took a nap, and so Monday morning you can't bother him. No, daily we can be going deeper with him. And by the way, just to solidify what I was saying before, we see in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus is above all rule and principality, right? We see that. Well, in Ephesians 2:6, and you don't have to put this on the overhead, just listen to this. It says this about us: and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's awesome. If Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's over all demonic forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and we are seated in Christ, do you see the picture? Then we in Christ are over all demonic forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so there it is. That way you know I'm not just making it up. It's right there in the Bible. See that? It's not always easy, but we can overcome because Jesus is Jesus. He is the King of the universe. And so Paul says to those disciples, God's power is in you. It's already there. Just like the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is already in you. Why? Because the Spirit lives in you. And so, know it. Let it out by living out God's will. And as we're doing that, two things happen when God's power is flowing through us. The first one is it leads to great endurance and patience. You know as well as I do that in this world we face struggle, we face temptation, we face testing. Ever been there? Ivan was there in a Soviet prison camp. So it's not always easy. But as we are living out God's will, and as God's power is flowing through us, it will allow us to have greater patience, perseverance, and endurance than we ever would have had in the natural man. So if you're in the middle of it right now, and I know some of you are, if you're in the middle of it right now, I encourage you, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, know and live out God's will. And go after Jesus. Go after Jesus more and more and more. He's going to strengthen you. It's a promise. You see it right here. It's a promise. A second thing is then we will joyfully give thanks to God. Paul says in another place that we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Anybody in here ever wake up in the morning and the last thing on your mind is rejoicing? Yeah. I've been there too. Absolutely. Some of you may have been there this morning. Right? As we are knowing His will, there's no way around it. As we're living it out, His power flowing in and through us, great endurance, great perseverance. And then it makes sense. Now we'll be able to rejoice in God because we're overcoming. You see that? The Scripture says that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It also says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Both of those scriptures come from the same letter. So it's a yes and thing. It's Jesus working on our behalf, but we're working with Him as disciples. And I think that's what it comes down to, putting ourselves in a position to hear the voice of God, to know the Word, allow the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, and then allowing Him to strengthen us so that we would walk in it. And then all of a sudden, we're going to start living lives worthy of God, pleasing Him in every way. We're going to bear fruit in every good work. And by the way, one other piece of fruit that I want to mention. I mentioned two before. I just had a third one pop into my head. It doesn't mention it as fruit as such in the Bible, but I think it works. How about the fruit of souls? Jesus is calling us to be the light of the world in such a way that people will come to know Him. And that's the fruit of the work of the Spirit. Saved souls. I don't care about making a name for ourselves. I don't care about that kind of stuff. It doesn't interest me. So I don't necessarily care in and of itself if we have 700 people coming in this congregation. But Jesus loves them. It would be incredible, wouldn't it, if all of a sudden we had to go to three services because the place was packed out. Why? Because of Jesus. And because people are coming to know Him. A third way to bear fruit. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by hearing the Word of God, hearing His will, living in it, walking in it, and then all of a sudden, these things will be the result. So here's the personal question, and then we'll close in prayer. How many of you, after hearing these results, the three that I mentioned, how many of you, and maybe this is a silly question, but sometimes it's good to put feet to your faith, right? How many of you would say you want these things in your life? Raise your hand. I would. I'd want them, right? So we would say we want to live a life worthy of God and pleasing to Him, right? Is that our heart? Good. We're saying we want to bear good fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of repentance, the fruit of souls. We want those things? Okay, good. How many of us want to grow in the knowledge of God and to have more of His power flowing in and through us? How many of you want more patience, endurance, perseverance? Yeah. How many of you want to rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I say rejoice. Yeah, there it is. This is God's heart for our lives. And so, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Lord is calling us to go deeper with Him. And so what I'd like to do here is ask Pastor Stephen, wherever he may be. There he is. Come on up. Let's stand together if we could here this morning. Take a second to stretch if you need to. Get the blood flowing again. Out in my mind that the Lord has some great plans and purposes for this congregation. If He didn't, then He wouldn't be Jesus. And His Word says as much. I think it's up to us then to come in line with what He's doing. It's not up to us to make Him do what we want Him to do. It's up to us to come in line with what He's doing. He's King, and we're not. And so we relate to Him as a friend. We relate to Jesus as an elder brother. But don't ever forget, we relate to Him as Lord. And when He says jump, we say how high. And so if you would say to God here this morning, God, I want to know You more. I want to know Your will in my life. And I need Your strength to carry it out. If that's you this morning, would you just come and join me up here? Because that's my heart for me and for my family as well. Come on and join us up here at the altar. Jesus. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. Amen. Jesus. I want to take a moment just to spend some time here in the presence of Jesus, allowing Him to speak to your heart. Maybe there's something on your heart right now. Lord, what's Your will for me in this area, whatever the area might be? Maybe He'll give you that spiritual wisdom and that understanding you need right now. You never know. But to me, this is almost like a recommitment, if you will, rededication to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm Yours. May Your will be done in my life. So take a moment and just begin to share your heart with the Lord in this area. If there's a sin that you got that needs to be confessed, confess it. Confess it. And then if it's something that you find yourself dealing with all the time, get right. Do what you need to do. The Spirit will strengthen you. Let's just spend some time sharing our hearts and maybe even just listening what the Lord may say to us right now.